Welcome to Today's Issues. Join us for the next hour as we offer a Christian response to the issues of the day.
Welcome to this Wednesday edition of Today's Issues. I am Walker Wildman. Joining me to also host the show is Dr. Ray Pritchard from Dallas. Ray, welcome to the show.
Well, good morning, Walker. How are you today?
Doing well. A little bit warmer today. I know I said it was cold yesterday. A little bit warmer. We also have Fred Jackson in studio with us. Welcome, Fred.
Well, good to be here. Way past my bedtime last night, but State of the Union address, couldn't miss it.
That's right. Yeah, I watched most of it. I was at my in-laws watching, eating dinner, and then watched half of it, and then I have a young one, so we had to go home and put him to bed. Which is great, but then I finished watching most of it this morning. But yeah, great speech, and we'll be talking a lot about that, playing some clips from the State of the Union. So once again, you're listening to Today's Issues. We have a very good lineup today, along with Dr. Pritchard and Fred talking about the news. We'll have Abraham Hamilton III, host of the Hamilton Corner each afternoon. We'll be talking to him about the Democrats and their messaging, or the lack thereof. And we'll also be talking to Steve Tiber of 8 Days of Hope. Many of you know Steve and 8 Days of Hope and the great work they do. He'll be updating us on their latest trip coming up to Houston, Texas. But in the meantime, Fred, let's talk about that speech last night.
Well, we have a story on One News Now right now, and the headline of this story really tells the story from last night. The headline is, Trump celebrates America at State of the Union, and comma, Dems sulk. So everybody who kind of watched it last night, they know what I'm talking about. President Trump was pumped. He really was. Obviously, he's proud of the accomplishments in his first year of office and can point to, factually, especially in the areas of the economy, what is going on. And, he just rehearsed once again the fact unemployment rates for African Americans, Hispanic, the lowest they've been in years, if forever, and it was quite an amazing night that way. So he laid all of that out, but here was the awkward point, and you just had to shake your head. The House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi, and again, if you saw this last night, Nancy Pelosi is sitting there. And she looks like she's been sucking oatmeal through a straw most of the night, honestly. And she's squirming around there and she's just in great consternation. And then there were other Democrats. They would look around and see if other Democrats were going to stand when the president said something like, we ought to be proud of our flag. Okay, should I stand up for this one? Or what does Nancy want me to do? So this went on and on last night, but I don't think it took away from the compelling speech by the president. In fact, CBS did a poll in the wake of the Trump speech last night. 75%, 3 in 4 Americans who watched the State of the Union address last night, approved of his inaugural address. 75%. Only 1/4 said they didn't like it. So given his popularity numbers that we've all talked about going into this, they thought he hit it out of the park in that speech. And I think one of the more gripping parts of his speech, and it kind of played through and was laced through the whole speech last night, as he introduced the guest that came with his wife, Melania, and they were up in the balcony watching it. And so many different stories. On the issue of immigration, and Brent, this is going to be cut too. We're going to go to first. President Trump has taken a strong stand, as he did during the election campaign, that he's going to build a border wall to keep people who want to get into this country illegally out. But mixed in with that part of his speech last night, he introduced two fathers and two mothers. And I tell you what, it had to do with what they have suffered because at the hands of illegal immigrants and what has happened to their family. So cut to.
My duty and the sacred duty of every elected official in this chamber is to defend Americans, to protect their safety, their families, their communities, and their right to the American dream. Because Americans are dreamers too. For decades, open borders have allowed drugs and gangs to pour into our most vulnerable communities. They've allowed millions of low-wage workers to compete for jobs and wages against the poorest Americans. Most tragically, they have caused the loss of many innocent lives. Here tonight are two fathers and two mothers.
I don't know if you heard the groaning in the background when he talked about families, American families, who have lost loved ones at the hands of people who crossed the border illegally, killed sons and daughters. The groaning that you heard in the background was Democrats saying you shouldn't be talking about that. Now, that's all you had? You had to groan when he was talking about the tragic loss of loved ones by families, loved ones taken away at the hands of people who have entered this country illegally. And that is something, you know, that you would think. You would think that whether you're Republican or whether you're independent or whether you're a Democrat, you could agree that we have to do something to secure our border. Yet, these Democrats were condemning the president. Don't bring that up. Because we don't want the American people to even consider that image.
You know, that just shows, Fred, how unbelievably radical the Democrats have become. Because in their party now, if you say anything like what the president said last night, they're going to turn against you. They're going to destroy their own. So the president said nothing more than what we all know to be true, that America is a nation of immigrants, right? And we want safe and legal immigration, and we want to protect our borders. What could possibly be wrong with that message? I think the Democrats in this case are way out of touch with the heart of America on this issue.
Yeah, I agree, Ray. And I do remember, look, I mean, it's not partisan politics or nothing new. I mean, Republicans probably did not stand or applaud at certain things that President Obama said, but I will say there are certain issues such as honoring these families and our country and our flag and the military, things like that that cross party lines. But it seemed to me that Democrats didn't stand for hardly anything. There were a few things that they stood for and applauded, but there were some things, when they were honoring some of the families, the Democrats did not stand.
No.
And I thought that really stood out to me. And I think your average American, whether it be Democrat or Republican, probably did not receive that very well.
Well, one of the other guests last night was a young man who has taken upon himself to ensure that the graves of brave patriots in this country have American flags. And he started a campaign, this young man. I don't know, he's 10, 11 years old. He was in the crowd there sitting by, I think he was sitting right next to Mrs. Trump last night. But he mentioned, I think it started a campaign. I think there's, 400,000 flags now have been planted. And so President Trump used the opportunity to applaud those who honor our flag. Well, again, some people were upset about that because you're mocking and you're making fun of those football players who refused to stand during the national anthem. Again, Democrats, what the president is promoting there is patriotism, the honoring of our flag, the honoring of those who have died in the interest of national security of this country. That's why that young man was there last night, and yet they had trouble with that. So it goes to, if you talk about negativity in politics, that's where we are with the Democratic Party last night. You know, some political pundits, this wasn't lost on pundits like Frank Luntz, who you've seen on Fox News from time to time. He said, why are Democrats not applauding job growth, higher wages, and the drop in Latino and African-American unemployment? He said, I thought economic success is good for everyone, regardless of the party.
Yeah.
But here's the problem for the Democrats. They have to now go out and lie And that's what happened last night. We'll go back to some of the remarks from the president's speech. But if you stayed up long enough, you heard the response last night. And the Democrats chose as their – they actually had five different people responding. I couldn't stay up late to see it all. But the number one responder was Congressman Joe Kennedy. And here's the thing with this. He painted a picture. Now, this is right out of the Democrat Party playbook, if you want, that Barack Obama used for 8 years. And it was this kind of class warfare. You know, he couldn't deny that there are good things going on in the economy. But then he says, really, the only beneficiaries of it are the very rich, and that there's still people out there suffering and trying to appeal to this class warfare that blue-collar workers aren't. But we all know that's not true.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the stories that we have heard in the wake of tax reform, that companies are giving workers, including blue-collar workers, $1,000 bonuses or $2,000 bonuses. That other benefits are out there. Benefits for families, low-income families, in the way of child care benefits. All of those things are factual, but even Kennedy, Congressman Kennedy last night, tried to paint a picture that the Barack Obama class warfare thing is still happening. No, if you look at reality, the benefits of President Trump's economic plan are being seen across economic lines out there. So I don't think it was a good night. I think the poll that we just mentioned reflects this. It was not a good night for the Democrats. In fact, the real problem for Democrats right now is what in reality do they have to run on heading into this election? Back to the speech, one of the most moving parts of the speech last night, for me at least, was towards the end of the speech, and it had to deal with a young North Korean defector. And President Trump locked it into what we have to do with regards to North Korea. But this young man, Sung Ho, and he was there last night, and President Trump did a good job of telling his story, his background, how he was persecuted by North Korean officials, and that he and his whole family eventually tried to escape. He made it out. His dad did not and was executed by North Korean officials. He's now in Seoul, and he's trying to help others who are trying to escape. So cut number six, Brent, as we listen to the president talk about this young man from North Korea and what he is doing to try to help others.
In 1996, Sung Ho was a starving boy in North Korea. One day he tried to steal coal from a railroad car to barter for a few scraps of food, which were very hard to get. In the process, he passed out on the train tracks, exhausted from hunger. He woke up as a train ran over his limbs. He then endured multiple amputations without anything to dull the pain or the hurt. His brother and sister gave what little food they had to help him recover and ate dirt themselves, permanently stunting their own growth. Today, he lives in Seoul, where he rescues other defectors and broadcasts into North Korea what the regime fears most, the truth. Today, he has a new leg. But Sung Ho, I understand you still keep those old crutches as a reminder of how far you've come. Thank you.
Wow.
That was an incredible moment. That young man then stood. He was sitting up near where Melania Trump was sitting. He then stood, and he held up those crutches in a sign of defiance, in defiance against that cruel North Korean regime. It was an incredible moment.
You know, that was probably the emotional high point for the president.
Yeah.
I mean, that was transfixing, right?
Mm.
You could not take your eyes away from it. When that young man who had suffered so much, not just stood up, but lifted the crutches above his head, and people stood and cheered. You said, well, this is exactly what America ought to be doing. This is what we ought to stand for And these are the kinds of people we ought to be helping. He's a true hero. And the president was very wise to have him there last night.
Yeah, Ray, don't you think, as I'm listening to these clips and stuff and kind of we're reviewing what happened last night, this really could be a historic unifying moment and year in our country, because a lot of the issues, there are some issues that President Trump takes on that are partisan issues, but a lot of them are unifying issues, such as the economy, such as North Korea. That should be a unifying issue. And so it's like we're squandering this moment. Our country is squandering the moment. And when I say our country, the Democrats, for the most part, obviously the CBS poll, 75% of Americans viewed, or the people they polled viewed the speech as positive and good. So maybe our country is unifying, maybe not in Washington, but throughout the heartland, Ray.
Well, it seems to me that the president last night was not speaking to Congress. He was speaking to the American people, speaking to them and speaking for them. And I think the Democrats just got exposed last night. And I thought about, you know, Joe Kennedy giving that response. First of all, it's really tough to give a response to a speech like that. There have been a lot more bad responses or weak ones than good ones over the years. So that's a hard place to be in. Mm-hmm. But he sounded, besides having too much lip gloss on last night, you know, really, he didn't have anything to say except, yes, the economy's doing good, but everything else is doom and gloom. And the people of America can see right through that. Wouldn't you guys say that was the best speech that the president has given since he's been elected?
I would say absolutely.
Yeah, he's growing, I think, more comfortable with that environment. I think the president, being Donald Trump, would rather not speak from a script.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I think he feels confined when he does that. But he's getting used to it, and he's getting better at delivering speeches from a written script like that.
And from a teleprompter, which is really hard to do.
Yeah, and you can tell when watching him when he's thinking about going off script.
Yes.
Because
see the wheels turning.
Yeah, he takes a second glance at the teleprompter like, do I want to keep going or do I have something to say?
You know, almost last night I could see it in his eyes. If you were standing where the president was standing last night, looking at the audience, Republicans and independents over on his left-hand side, but these Democrats, who for the most part remained seated last night, were over to the right. And I noticed every now and then he would look off to the right, and I thought, okay, he's going to say something.
Yeah.
Right.
He's going to say
something.
You know,
he was thinking about it.
He had to be thinking about it.
Yeah.
But, you know, okay, I know what they're saying back in the White House.
I don't think he got off script at all, did he? I mean, you could tell he was thinking about it, but I don't think there was any moment.
I don't think so either. Yeah, I think he stayed on script. One of these clips that what if we go ahead and play Joe Kennedy's response?
So people can just have a listen to that.
Mm-hmm. We are bombarded with one false choice after another, as if the parent who lies awake, terrified that their transgender son or daughter will be beaten and bullied at school, is any more or less legitimate than a parent whose heart is shattered by a daughter in the grips of an opioid addiction.
Well, you know, I just don't think we have an outbreak of transgenders being beat up at school. I'm not saying taking that lightly if that ever happens, but seriously, what's going on in America? Is that the main problem? I don't think so. You have people losing their jobs. You have families falling apart because of the opioid addiction, which he did mention. But playing the whole transgender card, I don't think that's going to work.
That whole thing fell flat.
Yeah, that was, and it sounded so insincere. I mean, that was so scripted.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, but again, it goes, you know, when I heard that last night, I thought about, okay, you want to raise that profile of the transgender person in schools. What's really happening in the transgender debate as far as our schools go, here's what the story is, that our sons and daughters are being told you have no right, for instance, if you have a 9-year-old daughter, you have no right, parent of that 9-year-old daughter, to say, wait a minute, I'm opposed to the young man who shows up at school and says, today I feel like a girl, I have a right to go in and change my clothes in the girls' dressing room. So that's what's being discussed out there today. Those are the court cases that are going on. That's what's happening in America. It's about the safety of that little girl in the change rooms and the bathrooms of our nation's schools against somebody. Now we've reached this point, this ridiculous point, that people just have to say, well, I feel like a girl today. A guy just has to say, I feel like a girl today. And the school has to say, okay, you can do whatever you want.
Yeah.
But, you know, the Kennedys of the Democratic Party, they don't want to talk about that. They don't want to talk. Now, I think individual Democrat moms and dads are just as concerned as Republican moms and dads about their little daughter being assaulted in a restroom at a public school.
Yeah.
But the Kennedys do not want you to think about that.
Right. Ray?
Well, it was he said a false choice. Well, it's exactly a false choice. No one should be bullied, right?
Mm-hmm.
No one should be bullied. And we ought to take care of the people who are suffering so greatly from the opioid crisis. And I just thought to myself, okay, Joe Kennedy, if that's the best you've got nothing at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought the same thing. What else you got, Fred?
Well, I was sitting in my office last night watching this speech. And at one point, the number one story on the Associated Press lineup of stories, here was the headline. And actually was still up this morning when I came in. Why did Melania wear white?
Oh, brother.
Some see hidden meanings. I said, what?
Yeah, what? I noticed, wasn't CNN, this was the main subject before President Trump walked in, right? As far as why she was wearing that?
Well, she walked in by herself with those people. Well, it's not unusual because the president comes in through the center aisle,
right.
Number one. She is sitting up in the balcony of the House. That's what first ladies do. They sit up there with the guests, whether it's Democrat or Republican. But here's the story. Twitter went wild with speculation when First Lady Melania Trump showed up for her husband's first State of the Union address in an ivory Christian Dior pantsuit. Some suggested sarcastically her attire was a tribute to Hillary Clinton, her husband's 2016 Democratic opponent who favors pantsuits.
What?
Or was she honoring the suffragans who made white their signature color? Others tweeted that Mrs. Trump looked divine. Her suit was in contrast to the black worn by Democratic congresswomen and their allies. Please. And then they started to go into the yarn about maybe Mrs. Trump is upset she arrived at the speech all by herself. They connected it to this gossip about this woman who is in the porn industry, and there have been stories out there that she had an affair. By the way, this woman issued a statement last night that said, I did not have an affair with Donald Trump.
And she said that multiple times.
She said it multiple times, yet they had to weave that, the mainstream media, into the stories last night about Melania Trump, who, by the way, did drive home to the White House with her husband.
Mm-hmm. This is, I'm reading, Carol said on Facebook that maybe it's just because she likes white and she looks good in it. Maybe that's why she wore it. That's from Carol on Facebook.
Well, she did look great, and she always presents herself well, right?
She does.
She does.
So there's nothing to, I mean, if that's all you've got, then that's what you do after the president hits a home run, if that's all you've got to talk about what the first lady was wearing.
Yeah, Carol also said that her and second lady, Karen Pence, arrived early to spend time with the presidential invitees.
Yes.
So that could have been it. That could have been why she didn't ride with President Trump.
Which is tradition.
Yes. Yes.
Nothing
All much. Right, folks. Well, you've been listening to Today's Issues. First segment is here and gone. Seemed very fast. But we'll have Abraham Hamilton III in studio after the break. We'll continue this subject on the State of the Union. And we'll see you in a few minutes.
Next time on Today's Issues, our guest will be Michael David Perkins, director of the movie The God Who Speaks.
We made this specifically for Christians with the hope that this will build your confidence in the Scripture. So as you are bombarded with questions or even just your own doubts and your own individual internal questions. So how do I answer some of those questions?
Don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
If you like trips where you have to plan everything, then maybe our tour is not for you. Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman with American Family Association and American Family Radio. Of course, I'm talking about our spiritual heritage tours of Washington, D.C., Mount Vernon, and then a separate trip to Williamsburg, Virginia. And guess what? We take care of everything. All you have to do is, as they say, show up. But we take these spiritual heritage tours twice a year, once in June and once in September. Stephen McDowell of the Providence Foundation, who is a historian, will be joining us for both tours, and he will tell you everything you need to know about the places, the times, the events that we will experience on these tours of Washington, D.C. and Williamsburg. For all the information, just go to the website spiritualheritagetours.com. That's spiritualheritagetours.com for everything.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Stearns with news and commentary next. Hi, this is Todd Stearns from Fox News, and one of the things I love about Liberty University is the broad vision they have for their students. Instead of simply preparing them for a career, Liberty helps students grow into mature men and women of character, striving to impact their career fields for Christ. Liberty University is the largest Christian university in the world, offering more than 550 programs of study. Visit liberty.edu to learn more. Again, that's liberty.edu. It was a terrific speech President Trump delivered last night, reminding us the state of our union is strong because our people are strong. I was especially impressed when the president talked about jobs, his desire for every American to know the dignity of a hard day's work, unemployment claims at a 45-year low. The fact of the matter is, President Trump has been able to do for the working man what President Obama did not. He's putting America back to work. Why Democrats could not find a reason to stand or applaud that is beyond me. But maybe Democrats don't want Americans to be gainfully employed. Maybe the Democrats would rather people be enslaved to the welfare system, chained to a political plantation. But what they don't understand is that kind of thinking is contrary to the American spirit. Americans want jobs, not a government handout. I'm Todd Stearns.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Welcome back to Today's Issues. Joining me co-host the show is Dr. Ray Pritchard out of Dallas. Dr. Pritchard, did you have, or I'll call you Ray after that, now since I've introduced you. I feel like I know you better than to call you by your
absolutely
last name.
Absolutely, yeah, just call me Ray.
Ray, were you able to make it to the town hall meeting last night in Plano?
I am so glad you asked. I was there last night. An amazing event. I had never, interestingly, Dan Celia was speaking last night representing the AFA Foundation and financial issues, and there were, I would guess, over 400 people there from all over Texas. Somebody came in from Houston 5 hours away just to hear Dan talk, met a whole bunch of listeners, a lot of folks who listened to Today's Issues, great to meet with the friends, and I want to say, I have heard Dan a lot on the radio. Until last night, I don't think I'd ever heard him speak in person. It was, Walker, an amazing event. Dan stood up, no notes at all, and just talked brilliantly about the economy and about investing and about how to use your money for good purposes. It was a fantastically informative event. And I just want to say this to all of our listeners. I know that Dan is doing other AFA-sponsored town halls around the country later this spring. I encourage you, when Dan Celia comes to your area, go and hear him. You will be tremendously encouraged, informed, and enlightened. So, yes, I was there last night and had a terrific time.
Excellent, excellent. Good to hear. And did you get to see my dad? He was there also?
I sat right next to your dad. And Tim was on the front row, and he gave the little pep talk before Dan got up, and your dad was great. And
good.
He got everybody warmed up. So, yeah, we had a terrific time.
Good
last
deal. Time. All right, folks. Well, if you want to attend an event near you, now I know we're not traveling all 50 states, but here are two events coming up in the next month or two. Little Rock, Arkansas, that'll be February 15th, so about 2 weeks from today, February 15th, Little Rock, Arkansas. And then the next one will be late March, March 27th in Fredericksburg, Virginia. March 27th in Fredericksburg, Virginia. You can visit afafoundation.net to register and attend those. They're free events. All you need to do is register and show up. And a lot of good biblical financial advice from Dan Celia. And so you can visit AFA Foundation for that. We'll jump back into the State of the Union and some of that information. But we have Abraham Hamilton III in studio with us. Welcome, Abe.
Hey, thank you, Walker. Glad to be here with you all.
Glad to have you. Well, I'll pitch it to Fred and let him ask you some questions about the State of the Union and get your feedback.
Well, last night, Abe, certainly the president was going over the benefits that we have seen already. All right, tax reform, it's now law, and we've already seen the benefits of it. Nobody can argue about that. In fact, there was a story this morning that came out. The U.S. companies added a healthy 234,000 jobs in the month of January. Mm-hmm. So these are non-Republican media reports that are coming out there, and these are coming out constantly. The benefits of tax reform, we've seen the stock market. So it's not just the president out there blowing smoke. He's just telling people what has happened since we brought in tax reform. But then the Democrats' response from it, from Congressman Joe Kennedy, is things are terrible. America is divided economically. The rich are getting richer and the poor are getting poorer. And you're kind of scratching your head. It sounds a whole lot like Barack Obama when he was president, his class warfare, his attempt to divide the American people. But the reality doesn't reflect what Kennedy was talking about last night. So why would they choose a strategy that doesn't line up with reality at all?
Well, I don't think that is foreign to Democrats to choose a strategy that doesn't line up with reality at all. But we were talking here during the break, and the fact is, if you think what is the Democrat message, what is the Democrat platform, and when you actually think, well, what is it that they're presenting? They're really not presenting any ideas. The only thing that they're presenting is resist President Trump. And when you put yourself in that position that you're in, a defensive position, and not only that, I think that the continued obfuscation and the flat-out lying about things like tax reform and other things is gonna come back to bite them pretty badly. I had a caller on my program yesterday to call in. Says, I'm just a regular, his name was Tim. I'm just a regular guy, hardworking man. I heard a lot of people talking about the tax cuts and saying it was bad. I have a tile floor in my home, and I'm holding the tiles together with duct tape. Mm. He said that when he put his financial information into the tax calculator, that it projects that he is expecting to get an additional $2,000 in the tax refund back in 2018. Mm. And he said, Abe, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to do the work myself. That's enough money to fix my floors.
Yeah. Mm. Wow. What a great example. Here's the other thing, Abe. We already know, and these aren't reports coming out of the White House, but we see the unemployment stats that have been coming out in recent weeks. Mm-hmm. President mentioned it last night in his speech. Unemployment rate for African Americans, way, way down.
The lowest since the statistics have ever been recorded.
Yeah, and he said lowest ever.
Yeah.
Likewise for Hispanics. Mm-hmm. Now, it is factually true that the Democrats depend on those constituencies for votes. So how can the Democrats then go out and condemn the president's economic plans when more and more people across the racial lines are getting work?
Yeah, it goes back to the whole they cannot allow any crack in their armor in resisting Trump. That's why when you have those numbers cited last night at the State of the Union address, you saw largely almost every Democrat still remain seated on their hands because they can't stand up and cheer those numbers under President Trump, because then their strategy of resistance would fall apart. But the unfortunate thing for them is that you're going to have many more Americans who are going to wake up, in addition to, you know, the scores of companies providing one-time bonuses, the scores of company providing salary increases, wage increases. And many companies are providing a percentage salary increase across the board, 3% across the board, offering employees stock options in their companies. All of these things happening. Well, in addition to that, many Americans are going to realize that they've received another raise that doesn't come from their employers, but it comes in the form of tax refunds. With, you know, having a doubling of the standard deduction, a doubling of the child tax credit. When you see all of these things coming together, well, you have the 529 savings plans that can now be applied to high school, elementary, and primary education. And even, I read some stories that at the last minute, they even threw homeschoolers back into the 529 savings plans, that there are going to be a lot of people that are going to realize, man, these people sold us a bill of goods. And when you find that not one Democrat voted for the tax reform, that you have the real reality that it's the Democrats don't have any problem with money. They just have a problem with money that comes anywhere other than the government. You know, that's just the facts. They have no problem when food stamps go out of the wazoo, when, you know, welfare benefits are expanding. They love Americans getting money that way. Mm-hmm. They don't like it when it's coming from this dirty little word called a capitalist economy.
Ray.
So, Abe, what did you think about the way the president presented the immigration issue last night? He talked about the Dreamers. He talked about a pathway to citizenship, but he also said we're going to have border security. That seems like a pretty mainstream common sense thing that most Americans respond to. But you saw the Democrats last night. They seemed like they weren't going to buy any of it. How do you think that his approach is going to play out in middle America?
Yeah, well, let me say this first. One of my favorite parts of the speech last night was when the president referred to all Americans as dreamers.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That was brilliant.
I love that. I love that because I've been beating the drum by talking about just how offensive, in my opinion, it is to refer to people who, even if it's not their own responsibility, their own fault for being here illegally, they're nevertheless here illegally. And I know lots of hardworking Americans that come from neighborhoods like the one I grew up in who have huge dreams but get nothing, especially from the regressive Democrat politicians. But his reference to border security and the lack of response by regressive Democrats in Congress, it's really going to show that their issue is not so much a compassionate concern for dreamers, but they're getting exposed for being the outright globalist and open borders people that they really are. It's not that they want sound immigration policy. They really and truly want open borders. And I think that the people in the middle of our country, the normal working man and woman in our country, they're going to recognize that we have a party in government in Congress, and we have a party in their platform that they're more than willing to sacrifice the American people for foreigners because it's more expedient for them politically.
Yeah, I agree. And how can folks listen to your show this afternoon?
5:05 p.m. Central Standard Time to 6 right here on American Family Radio, the Hamilton Corner. I will be on, and I'm going to be talking about some things that, yes, the State of the Union, but some things that happened before the State of the Union that is showing a different side of President Trump that I think may very well represent the President Trump we can expect to be there for us going forward.
I have one more question for Abe before he goes. Will he spend a lot of time on his program? I need to know this, Abe, talking about what Melania Trump wore last night.
You just revealed Abe's hand here.
Who did that?
The mainstream media had been talking about what she wore last night, as if there was a political message in the fact that she wore white to contrast with some of the people who wore black, the Me Too movement. Mm. I mean, did this the kind of thing that really you're going to have to deal with tonight?
No, I'm not going to be dealing with that at all.
Thank you for clearing that up, Abe.
Not at all.
We were very concerned. Abraham Hamilton III, thanks, Abe, for coming in.
No problem. Thank you, guys.
All right, you can listen on American Family Radio this afternoon, 5:05 p.m. Central, as Abe mentioned. And you can also listen to his podcast at AFR.net, along with all the other shows. Coming up next here in a minute or two, we'll have Steve Tiber, president of 8 Days of Hope, and talking about the good work, the unifying work they're doing to help aid the church and help those in need. So a lot of good work there. Ray, are you going to be traveling and speaking any in the coming weeks that folks might want to know about?
Next week, I'm going to be in Florida, going to be at Word of Life, Florida, just north of Tampa, be speaking there starting Sunday night and then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. So if you're in the Tampa, St. Pete area, I'll be at Word of Life Bible Conference Center, which is in Hudson. That's about 30 minutes north of Tampa. If you know Newport Richey, Hudson is near Newport Richey, and I'll be speaking there Sunday through Friday of next week. And all the sessions are open, and invite our friends to come out and love to meet the AFR listeners whenever I'm traveling around the country. And I'll tell you, Walker, I hardly ever go anywhere these days without somebody coming up to me and saying, I listen to you on American Family Radio. The reach of this network is amazing. So, folks, if you're in or around Hudson, Florida next week, come by and say hello.
All right. I just want to mention that I'm always amazed at Ray's speaking schedule through the year, how he manages in January, February to end up in Florida. And the summertime, it's up north.
Listen, in August, I'm going to be nowhere near Florida. I'm going to be in Oregon and Michigan and New York.
Ray, you have a wise scheduler. Whether it be you or someone else, they're very wise in scheduling.
That's right. You know, February is a good time to visit Florida.
Don't kid.
There you go. All right. Well, Steve Tiber is in studio with us. Steve, welcome
to
the show.
Good morning.
Probably the first time I've interviewed you. Usually it's my dad.
You know, where is he? Is he out?
Yes, he was in Plano last night with Dr. Ray Pritchard. They were at a town hall meeting there.
Oh, okay, neat.
And so he'll be back in the saddle tomorrow. And I believe Ed Vitagliano will be back tomorrow, but he'll be on the show Friday, of course. But we wanted to talk to you about your upcoming trip. You've talked about it a little bit on the network, but tell our folks what you're doing. It's really a historic trip. Tell our listeners about it.
You know, after Harvey hits Texas, we were able to, by God's hand, take about 2,000 people to Houston, and we were there almost 7 weeks. And all we didn't do any rebuilding. This is back in October, but we gutted homes, we dried them, we sprayed them for mold, and touched, like I said, over 1,000 families. It was an amazing 7 weeks of ministry. And now we're going back to start the rebuilding process. So I think a lot of your listeners have heard of 8 Days of Hope, and thank you, AFR, for all your support. But we normally go for 8 days to a disaster site in the country, and we rebuild homes for free. Mm-hmm. And we can rebuild 200, 250, 300. Well, we don't. God does. Through us, we get a chance just to touch hundreds of families to bring them hope, people with no insurance, no means, single moms, elderly. You know, people are going through rough times, and they have nowhere to turn. Mm-hmm. Well, this time we're doing our first ever back-to-back trips. I know you're an ex-baseball player. Pretty good one at that, too.
Yeah.
I remember in the day. But we're going to do a back-to-back trip. So 8 Days of Hope, 14 and 15, literally, are going to happen back-to-back in March, March 10th to March 24th. Someone can come for as little as 3 days, or they can stay all 15 and a half days. We provide the food and lodging. It's free. We plan to install brand-new cabinets in 150 to 200 different homes.
Wow.
So we need people that know how to install cabinets, people know how to do finished drywall, people that carpentry, set toilets, plumbing, electricians, and then people like me that are less skilled, they just want to give back. And you know, we need to make sandwiches for the volunteers and move them around and deliver materials to job sites to these families. So this will be the largest rebuilding event ever, a short-term event ever in America. And it's the church being the church. Mm-hmm. So we already have volunteers, I think, from like 36 states as of this morning. Mm-hmm. We have, you know, 30, 40 people coming from California, New York, and Oregon. And they're going to be coming down. If you fly down, you can fly into the Hobby Airport. We'll pick you up. And again, you're not going to find a missions trip cheaper than this one because it's free. And you get to be the hands and feet of Jesus. So we're pretty excited.
Amen.
Okay, so Steve, just go over this again. Who do you need? Who skilled people, or can skilled carpenters and electricians and so on, or can somebody like me, who I can lift stuff and carry stuff, but I'm not an electrician or sure. HVAC and all that other stuff. What do you need?
Yeah, we really need both. We need the handyman, handywoman, the professional, someone who says, you know, I've been doing this for 20 years. I've been making money. God's blessed me. Now I want to give back. And, you know, they're always looking, how do I give back? This is a perfect way to go to the second costliest disaster ever hit America, Hurricane Harvey. and literally be the hands and feet of Jesus. So skilled professionals, handy men, handy women, and then, yes, people like you and I that are less skilled, because we can carry the drywall. We can hold it while they screw it in. You know, we can deliver the mud to the sites where the drywall finishers are doing their thing. And we need people working in the warehouse. You know, we feed all the volunteers. We're expecting 4,000 people. Think about making 6,000 sandwiches on a morning.
Wow.
I have 5 kids, and I feel like sometimes that's a lot. But, man, I tell you, when you see that bologna and the peanut PB&J go on those 4,000, 6,000 sandwiches, it's pretty intense.
Wow.
So there is something for everybody.
Yeah.
So logistically, how does this work, Steve, right now? Do you already have the houses lined up, or how is this working? Or, you know, because we have a station in Conroe, Texas.
I know you do.
They may be listening right now and say, okay, I was in this area, and my house, how does all that work?
So we're partnering with an organization that we actually helped launch. It's called the 4B Disaster Network, and they have a website, 4bresponse.org, okay. I believe it is, or you can go to our website and we'll send you over there. But if you live in the southeastern part of Houston, all the way to the coast, if your home was damaged in the hurricane, you can go there and sign up to receive help for free. So we've already assessed, there's about 550 homes that have already been visited by a contractor, and they've tabulated, you know, the kind of work that needs to be done, how many materials we're in need. Then we're going to take some of our leaders. We have 99 leaders now, 35 states, 9 different denominations. We're going back there in February to actually visually order the kitchen cabinets and start setting up the warehouse and all the lodging facilities. So they can go to our website, or they can email us at info@8daysofhope.com, and we'll give them the website. They can sign up for help. And of course, to volunteer, we're very family friendly. You know what's really neat? In Lafayette last year in June, we had 40 families, 4 kids or more, serving with us.
Wow.
I love that.
That's amazing.
I mean, the best sermon I ever heard, I've said this so many times, but the best sermon I ever heard is the one I saw. Our kids need to see us being the hands and feet of Jesus. We talk about it. We take them to church. We pray before the meals, right? We check all those lists off.
Yeah.
And we do their devotion. All that's very important. But now take them to a missions trip.
Absolutely. Absolutely. 8daysofhope.com, 8daysofhope.com, March 10th. Through 24th, 2 trips, 2 8 Days of Hope trips combined.
Back to back.
To get the most out of your time there. A lot of work to be done. But you were talking about, you know, the families coming and volunteering, Steve. And I just, you know, this is, tragedies are horrible when homes are destroyed, lives are lost, and these natural disasters. But God always seems to use the church. The entire church, this is not a denominational thing,
no.
The entire church of Jesus Christ to minister to people who are hurting. And honestly, I'm sure you have many testimonies. Just give us a glimpse into some of the stories that y'all hear when you go on these trips.
You know, we had some college students from Michigan come down to Waveland, Mississippi, 8 Days of Hope 1 or 2, real early, and they were college students. And I remember emailing them back and forth, and they're like, what can we do? I mean, you know, we're not gifted, and we, you know, what can we do? Well, they worked at Miss Anna May's house, Anna May Parsons. I'll share her last name. She has since passed, but she was an 82-year-old lady. Her house had flooded, the hurricane. She lost her sister, who lived with her in the hurricane, and she had nowhere to go. She had no money. She had nowhere to go. Mm. And so we rebuilt her home in 8 days. I mean, we gutted it, put a brand new roof. These girls painted it. And on day number 6, Miss Anna May fell on her knees on her concrete driveway because she asked one of these college students, why didn't you go to the beach? Why didn't you go to Vegas? Why'd you come to Waveland, Mississippi? You don't even know me. And I always tell the volunteers, you have 3 minutes to tell your story, not 20, mm-hmm. not 34 verses, 3 minutes. Keep it simple. And this college student shared how she knows of the Savior named Jesus. Mm-hmm. And she shared her heart. And she asked Miss Anna May, do you want to know that same Savior that I know?
Wow.
I tell people all the time, we're there just to love and serve people. And oh, by the way, we're going to rebuild your home.
Yeah.
Let's just love people. Let's forget about where, you know, their past, who they are, maybe even their current lifestyle.
Right.
Let's just go love people, meet them right on the front line of ministry, and share that hope that we know in knowing Jesus. And let God do the rest.
Yeah.
I mean, we're good, but he's great.
Amen.
Let him do his thing. And so, again, 8daysofhope.com. We're on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. You pick the kind of work you do. So if you show up and you want to paint, paint. If you and your family or you and your brother, you and your siblings want to go do drywall, do drywall. Mm-hmm. 3 days or all 15 days. It's free. Show up at Hobby Airport. We'll pick you up. We give you some great looking T-shirts. We call it 8 pounds of hope because we feed you really good. And I'm telling you, you're going to go home exhausted, but your heart is going to be so full.
Amen. Amen. So I haven't been to the majority of the trips. I've participated here in Tupelo.
You did?
When the tornado came through Tupelo here, where our headquarters is, I did get out my chainsaw, my new chainsaw, and help a little bit there with y'all. But from what I hear from the people who are faithful and go often with your trips, it is an amazing experience. And it's really a time of renewal for people's spiritual lives.
It is. It is. You know, we have 30,000 volunteers now have served with us. I mean, think about that. Wow. 30,000. 80% of the volunteers, we always ask them, how'd you find out about us? You know, they saw us on Fox News or USA Today. And that's the smaller number. The biggest number of people that have heard about us have heard it on American Family Radio. And so to your dad, your grandfather, your family, all the employees, AFR truly, I don't know if you fully understand the impact of so many ministries, but such a huge impact to 8 Days of Hope. So thank you. And the people in Houston, thank you.
Amen.
Because today, someone now is saying, you know what? I'm an electrician. I should be going. I'm a single mom, but I know how to paint. I'm going to take my kid with me. Man, come on down, 8daysofhope.com. Go to the main page, click on more info or FAQs, frequently asked questions. Mm-hmm. Every question you would have about coming to 8 Days of Hope, I have no tools. Don't worry about it. I'm not handy. Can I come? I have a special dietary situation. Mm-hmm. How do you handle that? Just click on the FAQs, read about it, but love to see them in Houston here in March.
All right. Thank you, Steve.
Thanks, guys. You. Appreciate y'all.
Ray, in your experience in ministry, the hands-on aspect of ministry seems to be where the most lives are touched sometimes.
You know, in the end, people listen to what we say, but they believe what we actually do.
Amen.
When they see us coming in the name of Jesus, hammer in hand, saw, drywall, you can't deny that. And when they see Christians coming together across denominational lines, showing the incredible beauty of the full body of Christ, to do nothing more and not to make money, but to simply go and help those who are hurting and suffering. I just thank God that God gave Steve this vision. Mm-hmm. And I'm so glad, Walker, that at AFA, we have embraced and are hand in hand, heart to heart with 8 Days of Hope. This is what true Christian ministry is all about.
Amen.
You know, quite often when at your church, if you hear about mission trips, it's usually to some far off land, you know, that you have to fly there and you have to ask how much money it's going to cost, all that sort of thing. But this is a wonderful opportunity, actually, for a lot of people to just get in their car and drive to the location and be part of a mission trip. Like you, I remember when the tornado went through our home base here in Tupelo. It was just a nice, neat thing for us to go over there as a family and to help out and to see the look of gratitude on people's faces who had faced devastation. I mean, it looked like a war zone, the neighborhood we were in here in Tupelo, but here were carloads of people arriving to help out. And just to see that look was the great blessing to just to be participating in that.
Amen. 8daysofhope.com. Thank you, Steve. Glad to have you here.
Thank you, brother.
8daysofhope.com, March 10th through the 24th. Steve, I know you're not on mic, but does that fall during the spring break? Great.
Sweet.
That falls during spring break for some folks around the country, so that may help for your, if you have kids in school, y'all can go as a family. 8daysofhope.com in Houston, Texas, in the middle of March. You can visit their website to register and find out more information. We will be back in a few minutes, in 5 minutes after the news. See you then.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.